This is Roofs.
And this is Obfuscated.
And this is Infonomicon. News you need.
Like it or not.
Colonel Jessup, did you order the code red?
You don't have to answer that question.
I'll answer the question. You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth. Son, we live in a world that has walls, and those walls have to be guarded by men with guns. Who's going to do it? You? You, Lieutenant Weinberg? I have a greater responsibility than you can possibly fathom. You weep for Santiago and you curse the Marines. You have that luxury. You have the luxury of not knowing what I know. That Santiago's death, while tragic, probably saved lives. And my existence, while grotesque and incomprehensible to you, saves lives. You don't want the truth because deep down in places you don't talk about at parties, you want me on that wall. You need me on that wall. We use words like honor, code, loyalty. We use these words as the backbone of a life spent defending something. You use them as a punchline. I have neither the time nor the inclination to explain myself to a man who rises and sleeps under the blanket of the very freedom that I provide and then questions the manner in which I provide it. I would rather you just said thank you and went on your way. Otherwise, I suggest you pick up a weapon and stand a post. Either way, I don't give a damn what you think you are entitled to.
Did you order the code red?
I did the job.
Did you order the code red?
You're goddamn right I did.
What kind of beer do you like?
Heineken? Fuck that shit. Pabst Blue Ribbon.
What the hell is this?
That's a Sicilian message. It means Luca Brasi sleeps with the fishes.
You have 13 hours in which to solve the labyrinth before your baby brother becomes one of us forever.
This is the CBS Evening News. With Dan Rather reporting from CBS News headquarters in New York.
Good evening. Danger. War. Killer. Fraud. CIA. Mayhem. Crisis. Horrible. Inflation.
Military threat.
Flaming debris. Fatal heart attack. Stress injuries. Prison disaster. Economic collapse. Dangerous radiation. A tide of violence and human misery. A liar and an unremorseful killer. Communist international smuggling pipeline. Starving victims. And now they die. Chemical weapons. Carpet bomb deaths. Tough FBI. Killed and injured children. Police conspiracy. Negative attacks. Discipline, sex, and drinking binges, dying of a heart attack, dying of breast cancer, dying of a Japanese nuclear bomb, mountains of credit card debt, the mountain of cocaine, tons of cocaine. And that's part of our world tonight. For the CBS TV News, Dan Rather reporting. Good night, and have a great weekend.
This is Droops.
And this is Obfuscated. You're listening to Infonomicon. Number 11, release date, September 17th, 2004.
Is it 2004 already?
Yes. Actually, it's almost over with.
Wow. All right, buddy.
You got your beer?
I have my beer. Today is a very special show because I'm going to do a shot every minute of lovely Keystone Light. Just so everyone can understand how much drinking will impair your judgment and speech and vision.
Not the fact that it doesn't take too much to judgment to do this show in the first place.
Oh, yeah. So everyone go get some beer real quick because you got about 10 seconds before the first shot. All right.
Okay, let's start the show. You got any email or anything? Or
I do have some email.
Okay.
Hold on. All right. That would be shot number uno for the trooper. All right. Anyway, I received an email from Jeebus H, and he wrote that he was enjoying the show, and he had several ideas of doing a hacker/information-related video, and wanted to start up a little website, or maybe just give us the video. And I'm telling y'all, like we told him, that Infonomicon is not just about me and Obfuscated talking about retarded shit.
It's not?
No, it's about all information. And if you want to make a radio show, or you want to make a video, or you want to do anything, you can do that. Send it to us. We'll put it up on our website. We've got lots of space. We've got lots of bandwidth. just send it to us, and we'll put it up there. So do this, fuckers, now, you fuckers.
Okay, there's, was that it? Is that all the email?
Yeah, that was pretty much the email.
Okay, cool.
It was really long.
I just want to make this quick note. I was watching, you know, Hurricane Ivan, where the fuck his name was.
Ivan!
And I was watching Fox News with the coverage and everything of the hurricane, and they mentioned that the other computing going on for the tracking of the hurricane was done on Big Blue.
Huh.
They actually mentioned that, so I just want to tell everybody about that.
Well, that's excellent, buddy. Go Big Blue. I got 15 seconds to my next shot.
Okay. I want to mention some new... I guess no one's learning netiquette, you know? You know, the way to do things over the net. When you send somebody an email...
Shot!
When you send somebody an email, it's proper for you to answer them back. Even just to say, fuck you, I don't want to write you back anymore. You know, don't leave people hanging, waiting for an email.
Has someone been doing that to you?
No. I'm just mentioning that.
Oh, isn't that sweet?
Also, I want to mention that we're not affiliated with any organization or three-letter acronym.
FBI?
Not them either.
Organization.
Organization, so you'll know we're not, you know, have any reservations of saying anything at all. You know, we don't have to go to people and see if anything's right to say.
Except our boss, right?
Exactly. Mr. Okay. Magoo.
Mr. Magoo.
As we affectionately call
Shot.
Him. Also, I want to mention that last week I talked about the whole thing with Hairball. Hacksaw Radio did like a two-hour plus, it might have been more than that, show dealing with the case. So it'd be better to refer to that show to get all the information that you need. And, of course, we'll have put a link up for that website and all the other cool shows they got out.
All right. Well, I recently watched a great little TV show done by the Packet Sniffers. Have you seen that?
Mm-hmm. I sure have.
I really, really enjoyed their little segment on Commodore 64s. I haven't seen it all yet, but I really enjoyed that. And props to those guys for doing a good little show. Shot.
Exactly. That was a really good show. They have a few of them out, don't they?
Yeah, they're up to two now.
Cool. And we'll, of course, have that link. I'll probably just add that to the link section.
All right. So what else has been going on in Mr. Obfuscated's world?
I'm reading. Hold on. Also, Kizzle of HackerMedia.net fame has a new site. Not new, just redesigned. And you want to talk about that?
Yes. Mr. Kizzle has decided he's going to have a much better website than the previous one, which was really, really good in content, but not really pretty looking. And he's organizing the hacker radio shows as they would be. We're not really hacker radio, but we're kind of underground radio-ish. Anyway, what do you think about Kizzle's little website? Did you like the layout on it?
Excellent layout.
Shot.
Excellent layout. Now the website has to deal with... It's pretty much a place where all the shows can get together and post what's going on with the new shows, when a new one's coming out, what's this one about. It's a good gathering ground for all the underground shows.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. And what's our username and password?
Our password is... our password is littlecock 336. At infonomicon.org.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. So anyway, I got married the other day. That's kind of news.
The other day?
And I missed the show because I was honeymooning. And when I say honeymooning, I don't mean like having sex. I mean like remodeling my house. And anyway, thanks for doing the show.
Thank you, me. It's my job. That's what Mr. Magoo pays me for.
Mr. Magoo doesn't pay very well, but the little bit he does, we appreciate.
Of course, because he'll plug some of sponges to our balls and plug into a car battery.
That's no fun for anyone.
And you're breathing into the mic.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Anyway, I got my wife actually out with me the other day. We did a little war driving with my new GPS that I hooked up to my laptop.
Did you get head while you was war driving?
No, no, she was driving. I was doing the warring. Hold on, shot. Okay. And then I realized that I was running the SETI client while we were doing this. So not only was I looking for wireless networks, I was looking for aliens. And as dorky as that may seem, I was with my hot wife while I was doing this. That's kind of cool. And I have a plug for a piece of hardware that I really enjoy. Please don't hate me for saying this, but Microsoft has an excellent little GPS that you can get that comes with Streets and Trips 2005. I got it for $70. That's not bad for a little USB GPS and some software. Everybody should go try this thing out. It's badass.
Speaking of war driving, since no one actually has something to do with war driving, since we can't find anybody to come on the show to do interviews, you got to get your wife on.
Okay.
That'd be pretty cool.
Nah. She's a lot cooler than me, and I don't want to seem uncool.
Mr. Magoo had to might fire your ass and get her on.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It turns me on when she comes home from work, and she's like, fucking Microsoft! And that just turns me on.
Since our first guy backed out at the interview, we're trying to get somebody else on right now, so stay tuned for that. Okay, on to the news. You want to go ahead?
Sure, buddy. I was reading an article here. Now, I'm not currently in school because I've been working. And back in the day, we've done a lot of cheating, all of us, I'm sure. Cheating on a little test, writing something on your pencil, things like that. Well, cheating is getting high-tech. It's no longer you sneaking into your teacher's computer or browsing shared folders on the school network. Now people are entering the digital age, more people that aren't technical savvy. Hold on, shot. All right. A lot of people are doing swapping test answers by cell phones, camera phones, and PDAs. A lot of people have gotten really good at text messaging with their phone so much that they can have it in their pocket, look like they're playing with themselves, and send people text messages on their phones. And this is getting kind of rampant in some schools. And there are some preventive measures that a lot of schools are doing to prevent these things. There's a handful of tech firms and software developers have begun selling high-tech countermeasures to put these cheaters out of business. The most aggressive gadgets block cell phone signals. Others simply sound an alarm when the signal is detected, leaving the enforcement up to the proctor. I think that's really, really fucking cool. I wish I had a cell phone jammer just so I could sit in a restaurant, and when someone annoying fucking cell phone rang, I could just hit the button, and the bitch would quit.
What's the point of this? Cell phones or pagers or whatever have been allowed in testing for a pretty long time.
Well, not like SAT testing. I'm talking like, you know, Mr. Smith's 8th grade English class.
Oh, so Mr. Smith and like, you know, in Tangipahoa Parish, Louisiana, is going to have a fucking cell phone jammer?
Well, he might have to get one pretty soon. This
they can't afford new... Can't afford new books and they're going to get a cell phone jammer.
Or microscopes.
I say just carry around grenades.
And a lot of colleges are doing this, not really Mr. Smith kind of things, but colleges have a lot of money. And they're spending this kind of shit.
I don't understand. They're paying these teachers like ass loads of money. Why can't they walk around and check it out?
They're paying what teachers ass loads of money? What state are you from, buddy?
College teachers.
Okay.
They can't just walk around and see somebody holding a fucking pager in their hand. They're not that fucking small. Not yet, at least.
And then it goes on to tell in this article that a lot of people kind of think this is still kind of hokey with this whole high-tech cheating. And it tells a real funny story about a guy that sits down to take the LSAT test, which is the test you take to go to law school. And as soon as he got the test, he ran the fuck out of the room. The proctor, who was given the test, chased his ass. He jumped into a car and sped away before he could get caught. Hours later, he sent these answers to the test at two takers of the test at University of Hawaii. And he sent them to them via electronic pager.
So he ran off with the test?
Yeah, just fucking bolted.
He's like, please sign your last name. This fucker just runs off.
He's like, look over there! And
it's like Escape from Attica.
anyway, these three guys got caught, and they were each sentenced to a year in jail, and each forced to pay $97,000 in restitution to the LSAT people.
That's a little steep. Why can't they just beat them?
I think when you're getting ready to go to law school, they don't beat you anymore.
Oh, okay.
This must have been
at Berkeley.
And then they talked about some other low-tech cheating methods, such as test takers carved exam answers into number two pencils.
Oh, low-tech.
Or lined up different colored M&Ms on a desk to correspond to answers.
Oh, fuck. That's good.
So there's a little thought for you people in school.
I used to put them on my ruler.
Your slide rule, huh?
Mm-hmm.
You old bastard. If anyone doesn't know, obfuscated like 63.
Yes, I am.
Are you still delivering pizzas?
I'm basically just waiting for my Social Security checks.
But he's still cool, right?
Not really.
All right, buddy, go ahead.
Still rocking with the small penis. Okay.
Isn't that free world?
AOL dumps Microsoft Sender ID. AOL Inc. announced Wednesday that it would abandon its attempts to support Microsoft Sender ID email authentication standard, or is it a serious setback for the Redmond, Washington software company? This is a quote from Nicholas Graham.
Hey, what is Microsoft Sender ID?
I don't know. I'm just reading the article. Pretend like we know. Cut.
I know.
Okay. Okay, this is a quote from AOL spokesman Nicholas Graham. Given recent concerns expressed by the Internet Engineering Task Force, the IETF, coupled with the tremendous support for Sender ID in the open source community, AOL has decided to move forward with SPF only checking with inbound email at this time. That's the end of the quote. AOL still will provide Sender ID information for outgoing email, so that its users can communicate with email providers using that system, but that will be limited to support for the standard. AOL, meanwhile, is moving ahead with its plans to implement the industry standard server policy framework. The company said in June that it would require that all of its whitelist mailers to use SPF by the end of summer 2004. I just think this article is pretty fucking cool because AOL is like, you know, bashing Microsoft.
Excellent.
That's like, you know, a bunch of like Smurfs with leprosy getting in a fight.
Oh, that's too much, buddy. This Microsoft Sender ID thing is a thing that Microsoft has decided to come out with, and it's a way of authenticating email. Woo. So that you can
what the fuck is that?
It's to get less spam. That was my machine gun.
Okay.
And so you can get less spam. And if AOL is like, fuck off, Microsoft, that's good news for everybody. Because no one wants to have to do all this fucking email authenticating. That's not how you solve the spam problem.
I just say stop email altogether.
Oh, yeah.
What happened to pen pals? Did you ever have a pen pal?
I did.
They made us have one in school.
I used to meet girls and that lived way far away from me, and I felt safe with them, and I used to be their pen pal.
The original chat.
The original chat. Fucking mailing letters to who knows fucking where. Missouri City, Texas was one of them.
Was she hot?
That was funny. No.
Really not hot?
No.
So she sent a real picture of herself.
This is me. No, I met her in real life, and then we sent letters.
Oh, I never did that. In school, they made us like hook up with another. I think it was in Kansas, but another school in Kansas, and got all of us to send like the different students. And I got a chick who was writing back and forth. And I stopped sending her letters. She started sending me letters. Like I was getting stalked by mail. She started sending mail like, you know, why don't you mail me anymore? I'm lonely. I'm like, at 12, I'm like, this chick has to fuck off. She was hot, though.
Yeah, I never got a hot girl to send me mail, other than the girl that's now my wife.
That's sad.
Yeah, that's all right.
You actually had your wife send you snail mail?
Well, yeah, we used not to live in the same state.
That's sweet. Okay, go on with your story.
All right, is it my turn?
Yeah.
Even though I'm not going to say shot anymore, just remember, y'all, I'm still keeping up with the minute drinking thing. I just opened my third beer. Keystone Talls. Aren't they great? Anyway, I got a little article about a new device that I have not seen yet, but seems to be really fucking cool. A lot of people are business travelers, and they're staying in hotels, and there's wireless internet or there's wired internet, yada, yada, yada. A lot of people really like the convenience of the wireless internet. But carrying like a big old Netgear router or a wireless router or a big Linksys wireless router is a pain in the ass. So now there's several companies that are selling little inexpensive portable devices that are slightly bigger than a cigarette pack. And they let users temporarily set up a Wi-Fi network on the road. You just plug it to your high-speed internet and it creates an instant mini hotspot. And it goes about several dozen feet and allows multiple users to connect. Netgear, D-Link, SMC are offering these things. They're about $50, which is about the same price as a regular wireless router. And they differ a little bit from traditional Wi-Fi setups in several important ways. They're not really as powerful, so they don't broadcast their signal as far. And unlike traditional home Wi-Fi setup, which can be half the size of a lunchbox with large protruding antennas, they're just little. So they're a little shittier, but they're a little bit more convenient to carry.
So we got more shit to carry around.
Well, I actually have a little mail purse, as it would be.
Oh, you got one of the mail purses from Seinfeld.
A man bag, as it would be, that carries all my little gadgets, because I really like little fucking gadgets.
I already got a man bag. You need another one?
Everywhere I go, when I travel, like I take both of my PDAs, all the shit for them, both of my cell phones, digital camera, fucking shortwave radio, just to see what kind of reception I can get in different places.
You know, 10 years ago we used to call that
iPod.
10 years ago we used to call that a fanny pack.
I have a school picture taken where I was actually wearing a fanny pack. I used to wear a big red one.
You were really just, oh god, you were actually. You know, can you get that on the website for us?
I will definitely look for that picture. And I'm the guy that carries a lot of shit, wears a lot of shit on his belt. So I'm going to get me a little Wi-Fi hotspot, and I'm going to fucking plug it into my ass, and I'm going to be walking around Wi-Fi, man.
Wi-Fi, okay. Man.
On the next Geraldo. Go ahead, buddy.
There's a purse. There's a fanny pack. It's Wi-Fi, man.
And I just took another shot. Go ahead.
Okay. IBM protects passwords with PC chip. Big Blue will be the first computer maker to use National Semiconductor Safekeeper Trusted I.O. device, which stores a company's identity in silicon, making it harder for outsiders to access. The company's announced Thursday. It's adding the technology as part of an upgrade input-output chip, which is a secondary PC chip that shuffles data from various parts of the PC. Security encryption and password management and key components of IBM ThinkVantage technologies will simplify PC user experience and reduce management costs for organizations of all sizes. Clan Anderson, program director of IBM's PC division, said in a statement. So now they have a new chip to keep your passwords on.
Isn't that your brain?
No,
or like
Microsoft.
Or like a
that's
post-it
Microsoft.
Note?
That's Microsoft's got that.
Okay.
No, do you like that idea, having passwords on chips?
No.
Yeah, me neither. I guess it's a better idea than having it software, isn't it?
Just post-it note to your screen. That's what I have.
Yeah. Really? See, I play a little game. I keep my passwords on a piece of paper inside my monitor. So when I go get them, I have, you know, either I'm getting my passwords or either I'm going to die.
Excellent.
I keep it right next to the capacitor.
Excellent.
The flux capacitor.
I actually have a series of things that's always my password, and then I kind of intertwine that with wherever the site is, like... If my password was, like, Bill, it'd be, like, AmazonBillOn.com for Amazon. And then it's kind of funny, and I remember it. And that's how I handle my passwords.
All my passwords are in hex.
Just so everybody knows now.
All my passwords are in hex.
Are they now?
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, that's good.
100, about 150 characters.
So you retrieve that piece of paper a lot, huh?
It's a long piece of paper.
And it is a long piece of paper. It's like it's toilet paper.
Dot matrix. It's spreadsheets.
All right. Anyway, along from this little chat. Now, who are the big players on music? You've got, like, Amazon. You've got Real. You've got Microsoft now.
Bobby Vinton.
Napster, Bobby Vinton. Yahoo Incorporated, search engine, web portal kind of people, have just agreed to buy Music Match Incorporated for $160 million, which broadens its digital music offering from a fucking zero to a lot. And it's now going to take on...
Is that
Apple
an actual number? Is that
yes.
an actual number?
Take it on Apple Computer and Microsoft in the growing growing market for song downloads. Now, Yahoo now has a popular personal computer jukebox software for managing music and downloading service, and they're offering almost 700,000 tracks. So this is really cool.
No, not really. I hate fucking Music Match.
Whatever. Now it's Yahoo Music Match, so it's going to be a little bit more annoying.
Well, what's the point of having Music Match when you got Shoutcast?
This is true.
If anybody goes to Shoutcast.com, and I'm sure everybody has, you have a list of all fucking kind of music stations. Actually, more variety than you would have going out to Music Match, because I've listened to Music Match. And so what, they have that link so you could buy the CD. Just write it fucking down when you see it.
Yeah.
And it's free.
Anyway,
and it's free, and it's run by independent people. Not making any money. Some are.
Well, anyway, we don't like these people that aren't making money from shit. Anyway, consumers, according to the Yahoo guys, who use their new jukebox software to digitize their CD libraries, are more likely to buy music online from Music Match over its rivals. Because most people, this is me speaking now, are too fucking retarded to install more than one program. Shot.
Infonomicon brought to you by Clear Channel Incorporated.
Music Match software has been registered by more than 60 million users. And it comes installed on...
60 million idiots.
Yeah. And it comes pre-installed on consumer PCs from Dell Incorporated.
Yay!
Yahoo said this acquisition is one of several unspecified moves to plan its further development into music services. This is just the beginning for us.
Did that kid from Dell get busted?
Yeah. The Dell dude's in jail. That's why now they have those Dell interns that...
blow...
never went back to college. Kind of like me. Speaking of not going back to college, I turned in my 2 weeks' notice the other day at the horrible little store that I work. So now I'm in the market for finding me a job.
So if Mr. Magoo won't pay us our allowance, he's been late for like 3 weeks. And he's very disappointed in you.
He's a very great man.
He's disappointed in you.
Well, of course he's disappointed in me. Look, I'm drinking on the radio show. Pretty soon I'm going to start slurring shit. I'm already throwing my pen a lot.
You throwing your pen, so you're doing a David Letterman thing?
Yeah. Have you ever been drunk and go to school or anything like that?
I was tripping at work before. That counts.
That's good.
No, not really.
I took this class. I'm an English minor. And I took this class on William Faulkner's work.
That was amazing.
And I really, really, really like William Faulkner. Like, his writings, I just like him.
You just like him because he was drunk.
Anyway, well, he did not own a dictionary. His friend downtown owned a dictionary who also owned a bar. And he used to have to go down there to look up a word every once in a while. Anyway, my buddy and I took this class thinking it would be easy. And we were in one of those snotty English classes with all the people that are... fucking reading too much into the literature. And so we got sick of the class, and we decided we were going to get drunk before class every day. And this is not an official stance of Infonomicon TV, of getting drunk going to school, but it was just kind of fun for college. And the first day that we got drunk, they read a passage that the smart kids were having trouble understanding, and this fellow who's retarded, named Benji Compson in the book, had drunk some water that hurt, and the barn hit him. And my buddy and I are just rolling on the ground laughing because we're piss-ass drunk. And we're like, oh, he drank some whiskey and he ran into the barn. And no one in the class understood it but us. Anyway, that's my story.
Consumer fear of identity and credit card theft over the internet continues to escalate. Yet analysts and retailers continue to assert that the risk is minimal. The biggest fear, say analysts, should be on the of an inside job. Many of the recent thefts have been crimes committed by employees of companies that have legitimate access to personal data that decided to use it for personal gains. Christian Barnes, Senior Vice President of Technology Research Services of Meta Group, to a News Factor. In an effort to a certain actual theft risk associated with a certain online order online, News Factor conducted an informal test of the web. The findings were alarming. Basically, anyone who can use Google can access credit card and personal identification information. Practically everyone who knows that hackers, their words not mine, will continue to wreak havoc. That handful of malicious misfits is a very savvy, determined group against whom retailers and other companies must be on guard. The search request was simple. Using a researcher's Visa debit card, we started the first four numbers on the card and extended the span of possible number combinations. So we entered in a Google.com. Basically, they're going in and they're talking about, you know, their researchers putting, you could try it yourself. You know, start putting some of the numbers of your credit card in Google and see what you come up with. That's kind of fucked up. But you can't blame Google on that, because what Google does is search the web.
Yeah.
You have to blame the people with the website.
Okay. Yeah, this was on Slashdot the other day. Out of some comments, somebody said, search for this, and with Google you can put a span of numbers in without having to type each and every number. Just like you can type 1 plus 1 equals, and Google will tell you 2. It's really easy to Google for credit card numbers.
That's pretty fucked up. Have you tried yours?
No, I have not, because I don't have a credit card.
You're debt-free!
No, because when I got married, I inherited a debt of a house and a brand-new Ford Thunderbird.
Oh, that's hers?
Yeah.
The house is in her name?
Yeah.
Oh, you...
So if I divorce her, man, I get a house.
So your wife wears the pants in the family.
Yeah, and the short skirts and all the other stuff. I just go right there.
So she buys a house, she's got a car, and she's screwing you.
Yeah.
God, you lucky cunt.
And she's hot. If anyone has seen my my website, you've seen a picture of her. She's really cute.
Okay, go ahead.
All right. Oh, is it my turn? Well, I was just talking a few minutes ago about Yahoo entering a different business, such as selling, you know, music. Shit, where's my article? There we go. Amazon is about to start a search engine. And Amazon Incorporated search engine subsidiary plans unveiled new features today, which was a couple days ago, and one of the strongest signs that it hopes to compete with the likes of Google and Yahoo. But today's announcement, which is a couple days ago, or if you're listening to this way in the future, a long fucking time ago. It fleshes out a number of features that allow consumers to personalize web searches, a common goal among search firms. I had to take a shot. All right. Their search engine is called A9, and it's going to allow users who register with Amazon to save a record of their searches and the sites they visit, so they can later search and revisit the same sites more easily. Users can append notes to sites and store lists of favorite sites on A9's computers. They can then search through their notes and bookmark sites using keywords. It's a search engine with memory, said Udi Mamber, whoever the fuck that is. He's the chief executive of A9, which is 100% owned by Amazon. So Amazon didn't really develop it. They kind of bought out a company and started out A9.
Does Amazon have something like this already when you go to Amazon, you log in and whatever you do, that they, you know, your last pages you visit are usually on the side?
Yeah.
You know, I always find that kind of creepy. I don't want them fucking knowing I lost all. I don't, you know.
But I think this is really nice. A lot of people would really use this feature. A9 is also sensitive to privacy issues and allows users to turn off the tracking feature and erase any record of their activities online. It also provides the site with more limited features that doesn't require you to sign in. And then it lists four of the major features of A9. It's got the search history, which tracks your sites or your searches, which you can later view and search within. It tracks your bookmarks and allows you to save lists of favorite sites and search within them. It's got a diary, which lets you append notes to the sites, which you can search and appear when you visit. And you can discover, it'll recommend other sites based on your searches. Of course, they're going to have sites paying them for this whole discovery feature. But it said that, like, a guy that's always searching about fishing stuff, when he searches for bass, he's not going to get all these speaker reviews. He's going to get reviews about bass fishing.
And Dwarf Goes Fishing.
Oh, yeah. I think this is really cool. Search engine you can sign on and remembers things about you. Of course, we're all going to have privacy issues with it, but the general public is not. And this is something that maybe Google and Yahoo are lacking in their search engine technology. And this also helps promote Amazon's selling stuff. They don't just sell books anymore. They sell all kinds of good shit.
Amazon sells everything. Dildos, underwear.
They bought Egghead, which now you have to go to newegg.com to find Egghead. But I think this is a pretty cool thing that Amazon's doing. And it's free, so everybody should check it out.
No, I don't want Google to have that. Google is simple. Google is simple. It has the search thing and it says Google. That's it. That's what I like about it.
Well, I'm not saying that Google should go away from what they're doing, but they could also add another site, like they added Gmail, where you could search with your Gmail and remember all this stuff.
So they should have a page that's personally for your bookmarks.
Mm-hmm.
Then why can't you have that on your computer? Well, I guess if you upload it so you can go anywhere and see your bookmarks.
Yeah.
I guess that's okay, but they have websites dedicated to that.
Well, here's another one. Go ahead, buddy.
Okay, FCC broadband television on the way. Just as voice over internet protocol has emerged as a significant competitor to traditional telephone services and has grown more persuasive in the U.S. homes and businesses.
You know, only geeks and pedophiles use voice over IP.
Yeah, that's pretty true. Television via high-speed internet is becoming a reality as both broadband and competition grow. Evidence of the broadband TV steps both telecommunications and content providers are taking came this week from the U.S. Federal Communication Commission, FCC, Chairman Michael Powell, who referred to telephone companies' pursuit of video over IP offerings to compete with cable companies. This is a quote from him. Almost every major phone company I'm aware of has an initiative underway to begin trying to plug the hole with partnerships with satellite-delivered video, but what they're really working on is broadband-delivered IP television, Powell told reporters. This is a major component that is moving fast. So what I thought they were always trying to do is plug in a fiber for television. So now I guess they're backing away from that since the cost is so much. They're going to go with VoIP technology.
Well, this is definitely cool.
I don't. You think that's going
to
be?
And see, all this technology they're developing, when they do get fiber to your house, I mean, it just goes over a different pipe. It's still the same technology.
Do you think they're actually going to start using VoIP for television?
Well, they're not going to call it VoIP, but
no, of course not. They'll have come up with some other fucking acronym.
We're all going to have to learn and memorize
more acronyms.
Don't you love them?
No, not particularly.
I took Navy ROTC in college, and pretty much every Navy word is an acronym.
I had a whole like class in computer science dedicated to acronyms.
Like, there's people who I wish I could be, whose whole job is to come up with clever acronyms.
You can get that job anywhere in the government. And, like, for instance, like they actually sit and, like, really, really truly think of these acronyms. It's not just something that they just come up with and just happens to become an acronym. Just like RICO, which, of course, stands for Racketeer Influence and Corporate Organizations Act, which came from, I'm not sure what movie it is. I'm thinking it was either the original Scarface, which came out, I think, in 1932, or The Public Enemy. One of the characters' name was RICO, and they just pretty much came up with a name for it from the guy's name, which is pretty fucking stupid. So they had like a group of guys like, what should we call it? We should call it RICO. Well, we'll come up with something that means that.
That's really fucking cool. I wish I could do that all day for a living.
Okay, go ahead.
AOL, speaking of voice over IP, is testing a service to offer internet calling. All these different companies coming up with stuff that they don't really do, but they're going to start doing. Now, AOL, of course, is owned by Time Warner, and it said it's testing internet calling and Charter Communications, which is the third largest cable operator in the country, and they're also planning to offer internet phone service to 1 million households by the end of the year.
They suck, Charter.
I've never used them.
I had them a few years.
Now, AOL's beta testing this service right now, and if AOL does enter the telephone business, it could be hugely disruptive to the telecommunications industry. That's pretty big words right there.
What, Charter?
No, disruptive to the telecommunications industry.
Oh, okay.
AOL has roughly 23 million customers, including about 4 million subscribers who have broadband connections, a ready-made potential customer base for new internet telephone customers. Now, if anyone, I hope to God, no one of y'all have ever used internet or AOL for broadband, but AOL for broadband...
How does that work?
I'm about to tell you, it's not AOL providing you DSL. It's like you're paying $50 a month for Bell South, or whoever your phone company is, or whatever, to give you broadband internet. And then you're paying a little bit extra for AOL broadband, which is pretty much AOL with some added broadband shit, such as they'll
give you
bigger
ads. So why have AOL in the first place?
Well, some people are very comfortable with America Online. And granted, this isn't the type of people like us. It's somebody's grandma or some crazy old woman. And
lots of cats.
A lot of people's parents. AOL users usually have lots of cats. But they're moving over to, you know, big Bell South, you know, high-speed DSL, and they want that hand-holding from AOL. But so that's a really, really good market for AOL, because they don't even have to pay for people to dial up into their shit. Anyway, there's some analysts that decided that close to 1 million people are going to subscribe to voice over IP from leading technology providers by the end of 2004, and a number of the firms expects to rise to 17.5 million by the end of 2008. That's freaking awesome. And speaking of Charter Communications, they plan to offer phone service to about 1 million of the households reached by its cable networks by the end of the year.
Bell South is not going to be happy.
Bell South can fuck itself. Charter got into the telephone business 3 years ago and currently has about 31,000 subscribers. Last year, Charter became one of the first cable companies to begin selling internet calling. So more voice over IP, the more companies that get into it, the more the government's going to want to regulate it. Anyway, fortunately, there's programs like Skype, and there's open source programs to do this also. We just use Skype because Obfuscator uses Windows. And stuff like that's not going to be as easily regulated as Charter Communications or AOL. But I think this is really cool, and it's going to teach people to advance a little bit. But then you're going to get grandma on voice over IP, and that's not really cool.
It rocks or my socks wears.
It does rocks or your socks. I don't wear shoes, so I don't have socks.
Is your T-shirt unbuttoned?
My T-shirt unbuttoned. I'm the drunk one. You're not supposed to say shit like that.
I'm not wearing pants.
I'm wearing my buddy's shorts that I stole from him from military school, and they are like a size 28, and I'm like a size 40. Needless to say, you can see the willy.
That's what you call a willy? That's what you call a willy?
No, actually, I call it Oliver.
Samson.
What do you call yours?
Stanley. You know, like the power drill?
Mine's Oliver, because that's how much he fills up. Yeah, my wife loves that joke.
Yeah, I'm sure she does. She's the one who's got to deal with it.
She's skinny.
Anything will suit her. A year ago.
Thank you so much. She's not listening to this episode. God help me. Go ahead, buddy.
I was about to get really sick there for a second. Okay. Exim launches online radio service. Speaking of, you know, like what you were talking about earlier. A year ago, the company introduced the XMPC receiver, which allows users to connect their computers to XM satellite radio broadcast. The company recently discontinued the receiver, apparently due to piracy concerns and a fear of litigation with the record industry. The PC receiver would be linked to the third-party software and use illegally download music from the software radio stations. XM Satellite Radio today announced the introduction of an online commercial-free radio service to premiere in October. The company said in a statement, the Washington, D.C.-based company will charge a monthly fee of $7.99 for the service called XM Radio Online. Customers who are already subscribed to XM Satellite Radio Service will be able to purchase the Internet Radio Service for $3.99 a month. A year ago, the company introduced the XM PC receiver, basically to state what I did before. Now, XM for the car, I know somebody with Sirius, and it's pretty cool. I actually like it.
I have XM in my truck.
And I like it a lot for your car. Now, having it on your home computer, the same statement as I made before, it's pretty fucking stupid. When you got Shoutcast.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I will say that XM, I don't know about XM, but I know Sirius has a lot of good stations. Music-wise, it's not enough for me, but they have a lot of good news. I like the news. For people who like sports, they got a shitload of sports on there.
NASCAR channel, baby!
Yeah, you are the drunk one. And
woohoo! NASCAR!
And so, for the home... It's stupid. I think it's pretty stupid. But for the car, sure, why not? I won't get one.
I enjoy the shit out of my XM radio.
How much do you pay a month for it?
It's 10-something.
How much did it cost to get you set up?
A lot.
Like, ballpark?
Like, the receiver itself was like $150, and the car kit was like $50. But the car kit is very, very important to me. Because it's got a little headphone jack that plugs into my XM receiver. Mm-hmm. And I have a little headphone cord extension, and I can plug it into my laptop, or I can plug it into my PDA, turn my XM radio on, and it uses the little FM modulator that's between the antenna and the radio, so I can listen to shows like this or music off my laptop on my car stereo, and it sounds really good. And that's really, really cool to me. I think I use that more than I use the XM radio.
Okay, so you installed all this shit yourself, of course, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
oh, yeah.
How much would it cost for somebody else to set it up, do you know? Like, say, Circuit City.
Circuit City will install it for free because it's over $100.
Oh, okay, so they do that.
And they do a really good job, at least in my Circuit City. The guys there are really into cars. XM Radio
so
is
get it
really
all set up.
Cool.
So get it all set up, it's like $150, $200?
$200.
Ugh. That's still a lot, though.
Which is a lot of fucking money.
Just for radio.
And it's not even just a radio. It's just a little satellite radio. You have to have another radio in your car. You know,
just realized 50 years ago, people just listened to AM.
Yeah. And my dad didn't have a heater in his car, and he had to have blankets when it was cold.
So just realize this is all stupid.
Anyway,
just burn a bunch of CDs and bring them in your car.
Well, see, XM Radio has several channels that are really, really good. Like, they have, like, 80s on 8 and 60s on 6, shit like that, which are kind of good. But they have BBC World Service, which is really fucking good. They've got Fox News, which I really, really like. And they have a comedy channel where they can say fuck and shit and cunt and pussy.
Sirius has that also. So we plugged up. My friend has one of those, you know, they look like a little boombox.
Yeah.
That plugs into the thing. And he brought it inside while we were working, you know, when we're closing up. And we just cranked up the comedy channel. Angie Dice Clay for 2 hours.
And that's really cool. And a lot of these things do, which is something good radio stations do, and I live in North Mississippi. We don't really have good radio stations. There's a whole station that's nothing but concerts recorded, and then they have a lot of artists. Like, I have a weird taste in music, and today they had Bonnie Raitt on it. And it was, and it was just her talking and playing music acoustically, kind of like MTV Live.
Do they have Paula Cole also?
You know, you ever heard that that one famous song by Paula Cole?
Yeah.
It's just so fucking dirty.
Which song?
Oh.
Not that fucking cowboy song, huh?
No, maybe it's not Paula Cole. We'll play it as the exit music in the show.
No, we're not. Just for that comment, you're never allowed to pick any of the music again for the show.
Revolution was good, okay?
It was.
That's a really good song.
Have you listened to that show and see if it was at the end?
No.
It might not even be fucking on there. I might have just said it and just knocked it off.
Anyway.
I put some satanic shit at the end of that show.
I hope so. Anyway, back to
also,
news.
Before we get to the news, I also want to note, if you play the show backwards, you'll hear subliminal messages.
We say Our Father 100 times backwards, really slow.
And then we tell you to kill yourself.
All about it.
Here at Infonomicon Radio, in association with Clear Channel International, we do promote suicide.
And Mr. Magoo.
And Mr. Magoo, we do promote suicide.
See, suicide is always killing the wrong person.
Suicide is self-expression.
You should kill somebody else. Anyway, I'm all about gun ownership. Anyway, I get all my articles exclusively from the Wall Street Journal and just shit I hear. And the Wall Street Journal is really a really good newspaper. And if I haven't said it enough, get yourself a fucking subscription, you little poor bitch that can't afford it. It's really good.
That's why I listen to our show, because I can't afford the Wall Street Journal.
Anyway, in the personal technology column, you probably heard about Mr. Walter Mossberg, if you ever watched Tech TV, because Leo Laporte really likes him.
Fuck Leo Laporte.
I really like Leo Laporte.
And, who's the guy with the skirt?
Patrick Norton.
You know, I know a guy that wears his fucking utility skirts.
I was looking up kilts the other day.
They're skirts.
And they had a picture of a guy that was roofing a house wearing a kilt. Have you ever roofed a house?
Yes, I have. I didn't wear a skirt either.
No, I wore fucking blue jeans, and the roof of the house tore the fuck out of my blue jeans.
Well, if you live in the South, they get fucking hot, too.
And, like, it'll just cut you and burn you, and it's horrible. And a dude is in a fucking kilt.
Skirt.
Whatever. Roofing a house. Like, you're just going to have to kneel. Not kneel the whole time, but just crouch. And that would really be sucky on your knees.
Okay, so the first time I meet this guy.
It would roxer your socks or not.
So this guy, I'm outside smoking a cigarette. This guy comes to me, have a friend introduce me to this guy. He's like, hi, my name is blank, whatever. And I'm like,
that's a weird name.
Yeah, it is. His mother named him. Her name was Hyphen. and so he comes up to me. He's like, how are you doing? We start talking about Linux. And I look down. I'm like, dude, you're fucking wearing a skirt. The fuck you're doing? And he's like, hairy ass legs. Of course, he's wearing the fucking combat boots.
And this guy was too on the website.
And I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? He's like, it's my utility kilt. I'm like, it's a fucking skirt. I was like, are you Scottish? No. What the fuck are you doing?
See, the last guy that ever played a kilt and pulled it off is fucking...
Mel Gibson.
Tough. No. Okay, Mel Gibson. But Mel Gibson's a bitch. Sean Connery, when he was James Bond, was Scottish, because Sean Connery is, and wore a goddamn kilt with his suit.
When? Which one? Which one of the knights?
The guy with the gold teeth. The metal teeth.
Gold, Octoballs, whatever the fuck that was.
Octoballs. The guy with the metal teeth, James Bond, wore a fucking kilt.
I've only seen 100 of them. I know there's like 400. All I'm saying is the utility kilt is stupid.
I agree.
Because this guy doesn't wear any underwear underneath it.
Well, it's a kilt. I don't wear underwear.
It's not a kilt. It's a skirt.
I used to wear wool military school pants, no drawers.
What's the difference between a kilt and a skirt? Explain that to me.
Kilts are for men.
Oh, So the form of a skirt, you put it on a... So if a man wears a skirt, like a schoolgirl's uniform skirt, that would make it a kilt?
You remember that song, Come On, Eileen?
Yeah, I've seen that dude. He makes, like, a lingerie
that
for men.
That guy makes men's dresses for a living. He didn't even call them kilts. He calls them men's dresses.
Just like men's purses that you wear?
Oh, yeah. I'm all about it. When you have to shit, you just raise it up, poo wherever you're standing.
I do that anyway. I got a little hole in my ass where I zipper. It's like zip. Okay, man.
You weren't wearing those pants on our date.
Yes, we were.
Anyway, back to Wall Street Journal. The Wall Street Journal has this wonderful article by Walter Mossberg, and it's how to protect yourself from vandals, viruses, and if you use Windows. It says here, the company that controls Windows platform, which is Microsoft, has made it way too easy to access for people that aren't supposed to have access to your computer by carelessly opening numerous security holes in the operating system and its web browser. Even if you install the recent Service Pack 2 update to Windows XP, you'll still be vulnerable. You hear that, Obfuscated? That Service Pack 2 you installed, you're still vulnerable. Anyway, Microsoft should be taking care of these problems themselves.
Of course they sure. Of course they
with
are.
With a unified, managed approach that would free users from having to learn about the threats and constant managed security. They should take responsibility for shielding users from hackers, spammers, viruses, and spyware, the malicious software that, of course, hijacks your browsing and searching, pushing ads in your face, and secretly logs your activities. But until that happens, you have to fend for yourself. So here's a quick, rudimentary guide to protecting yourself from the digital world. And then, this is the funniest thing I've read in a long time. The single most effective way to avoid viruses and spyware is to simply chunk Windows altogether and buy an Apple or a Linux computer.
Is that Walter Musknuts talking?
He said Apple. I added the Linux bit. And by switching platforms, but switching platforms is expensive and scary to people, so if you're sticking to Windows, read on. First of all, buy a software firewall, which is important. He says to hate hackers, that's bad, but that's his words, not mine. Get rid of your viruses, stop your spyware, stop your spam. He said dump Internet Explorer, use Firefox, which is free, so you can browse safely. Don't download software from the web unless you're certain you know what it is, and stay current by installing updates. And it's really sad that he has to tell this article to people, because everyone that I just read this to fucking knows this shit. Even if you don't even use Windows, you know this shit. But
I think when Microsoft needs to break up like the government, you know how the there's the FBI, the CIA, the Homeland Security. That's how Microsoft should do. They should break up into like smaller little divisions. So you should have the Office of Computer Virus Fuck Ups, Office of Vulnerabilities, and shit like, well, with the cool acronyms, of course.
Oh yeah. Well, speaking of Microsoft being a piece of shit.
So they won't actually have to blame themselves. They'll just blame the different organizations.
That's right. That's what the government does.
Yeah. It seems to work for them.
Speaking of Microsoft being a piece of shit, I recently ran across something that I'm going to give for free to the next person that emails Infonomicon with information. Pixel Fiend, you can't win again. Actually, you can if you just email us with some good information that we can put on our show. And I have a hilarious mouse pad that's entitled Microsoft Works.
Okay. Also, before you go on to that, you can email us at meoffuscated@lab5ae@gmail.com, or you can email droops@droops@gmail.com, or of course you can email both of us at Infonomicon@gmail.com. Now, what's the great prize they win, Bob?
Well, whatever your name is. What is your name? Isn't it like Billy?
Something like that. it's a Dago name, whatever.
All right, Tony. They get a wonderful used mouse pad. It's gray, and it says Microsoft Works, which is really fucking hilarious to me. All right.
Why do we give away gay prizes?
Because that's all we got, because we're poor.
Okay. We've got like 20 Gmail accounts. If you want a Gmail account, just send us an email.
Like, you don't have to be cool or anything. Just tell
us. Yeah, we actually got too many. We have to give them away.
All right. Your play, Tony.
Okay. Yo, Tony. I got a cousin named Tony.
I'm sure you do.
Actually, I got three of them. Okay, man.
Do they have nicknames like Tony Tight Lips or anything like that?
Actually, yeah, they do.
All right, go ahead.
Don't you know all of spaghetti benders have all that kind of shit going on? All the stereotypes are true. Ah.
Well, I'm an educated white male from Mississippi, and I'm Republican.
No, you're not.
That's a stereotype, isn't it?
Yeah.
Except my daddy don't own cotton, so.
My dad owns, actually, I got a cousin that owns, makes wine. And one that says sells olive oil.
See, I was thinking about you today because I ate some black olives.
Oh, of course. That's how it works. You know, you think you eat some black olives, you're like, oh, those dagos, they know how to make some black olives.
All right, go ahead.
You racist.
I'm proud of it.
Yeah.
From Mississippi, it's a stereotype.
Bluetooth links will be up 3 times faster next year after the adoption of the enhanced data rate standard speeds of up to 2.1 Mbps compared with the current 721 kbps. But soon to arrive mass market Bluetooth stereo headsets could be a greater impact on device design. Surprisingly, a specification for stereo was approved only last year, perhaps because of technology emerged from mobile phone companies, which saw their business primarily as enabling voice calls. Stereo Bluetooth headsets have been spotted at trade shows, and a Tabashi model has been available over the web, but these are not designed for telephones. Currently, if you want to listen to music and make hands-free calls on the move, you'll have to carry 2 headsets. So we got Bluetooth phones now.
Excellent.
What do you think about that? No more shit to carry around, so.
See, I kind of like the whole lots of shit to carry around.
I don't know. You have Bluetooth, you have VoIP, you got AIDS, and syphilis.
Porn.
Porn could be on any able device.
If only.
Like back in the day when they used to have those porn, like, I don't know what you call it. They have cartoon porn. You know when those pictures you stack up and you leaf through the pictures and they actually move? They used to have porn like that. So that's the first, like, portable porn.
In the online identity business, there's VeriSign Incorporated, of course. And then there's the distant number 2, which is GeoTrust Incorporated.
Never heard of them.
Well, they're the very distant number 2. Anyway, GeoTrust is trying to make a name for themselves, because you've never heard of them, as most people haven't, but we've all heard of VeriSign. And they think the online world can be made safer from scamsters phishing for credit card numbers. Now, we all use a web browser, and in the bottom right-hand corner, there's a little lock sign for secure things, things that aren't. Anyway, GeoTrust, from Wesley Hills, Massachusetts, they've developed a toolbar called the Trust Watch. So as soon as you get the Yahoo toolbar and the Google toolbar and the Trust Watch toolbar and all this shit, and you can't see the fucking website, you can open up a web page that you can't even fucking see, and this GeoTrust toolbar will include a personal information exchange rating for the site. Now, there's 500,000 merchants that are accredited by VeriSign. GeoTrust and similar companies, anyway, a green button will light up on the screen, and if you're not one of these 5,000 people that's accredited by VeriSign, GeoTrust, and similar companies, a yellow button will light up signifying a not verified, or a red button labeled warning. TrustWatch also includes a pop-up blocker.
If you go on red, will you get arrested?
I don't know. Now, TrustWatch, which is free, is in the test phase now. But it can be downloaded from TrustWatch.com. This is something y'all should check out just to see if people are paying money to GeoTrust or VeriSign or some other companies and see if their website's credited. And then go around to some websites that are shameful, that are just bastards that'll steal your money, and see if what they're rated as. This is a cool little exercise for everybody to do.
Okay. The thing about this is that no one likes one company to regulate everything. People complain about that a lot.
Well, but see, this isn't one company. This is GeoTrust and VeriSign and others.
I'm not finished yet.
Sorry.
Everybody complains about, like, one company doing everything. you know, like, you know, just like doing all the regulations. But when you get more than one, you get two, you get three, you get four, making all these regulations, it becomes very, very complicated to know what regulations to follow. Or who's what. Now, who do you trust? Do you trust VeriSign? Or do you trust these guys? Or do you trust somebody else? Who are you going to follow to do what? You should have the choice, but to the average person using the net, they're not going to know who the fuck to use. And at this point, it's invisible who you're using. It's VeriSign. It's pretty invisible. But now you get to start making these choices, and you get the spam, you got this, you get that. You know, I'm not saying there should be just one holy god of internet security, VeriSign, but then again, you can't have too many. It just gets utterly confusing.
And how do you become a verified good person? Do you just give them money?
I would say so. That's what we give to Mr. Magoo.
Yeah. Mr. Magoo pays us, doesn't he?
Not really.
Well, not well. He's still a good guy.
He sent his hooker up last week, and god damn, man, I did the finger test, and it wasn't checking out that good.
Yeah, that's why I got married. He quit sending her to me.
Fuck Mr. Magoo. Oh, sorry about that. No, never mind. No.
Hey! All right, read an article, my friend. Let's get out of this conversation.
So what do you think about the whole two security people?
Pretty much, to get secure, or to be, you know, a good person, you just pay them money, and that's no good. But you got to be on your own if you're on the internet. You just got to learn who to trust and who not to trust.
You know, who's got your back, man?
Who's got your back?
We at Infonomicon got your back.
Here goes another one.
Okay, man. Atomic clock technology has been made so small that it may soon be possible to incorporate super accurate timekeeping into mobile devices such as cell phones. Computer chip fabrication techniques were used to make a clock mechanism that will neither lose nor gain a second in 300 years. Researchers believe final development should see a battery-operated system that is about the size of a sugar lump. The U.S. National Institute of Standards and Technologies is behind the work. These clocks will be so useful that we can't even think of the most significant applications at present, NIST's John Kitchens told BBC Science and Action program. However, he thinks one guaranteed benefit will be the increase in the reliability and accuracy of mobile satellite navigation receivers in towns and cities. The global positioning system is based on timing signals that leave satellites that orbit the Earth. Having a stable clock on board your GPS receiver can enable positioning location while viewing fewer satellites that would be possible without a clock, he explained. That's really cool. These things are getting really small and that accurate. I wish they could put this on my VCR. Because it seems like the only time I could tell is 000.
That's because you're an idiot.
Okay, cut that.
Sorry, I didn't mean to pop up.
Okay, man, what do you think about the clocks?
I'm really excited about this. I didn't really realize that clocks were so inaccurate as they are until I read an article the other day on SETI. And back in the day, SETI wasn't a screensaver. SETI was a build-your-own fucking satellite dish, run it on your fucking...
Explain what SETI is.
SETI is a search for extraterrestrial intelligence.
I'm big into this. You're listening to Coast AM with Art Bell.
I'm big into looking for that, for aliens. I think it's really fucking cool. And like my my wife, excuse me.
We should get the Coast to Coast theme song on here.
Her computer is looking. Her computer's looking for a cure to cancer. Mine's looking for aliens, and they're probably going to have a cure to cancer. So I ain't ever worried about, you know, that shit.
My computer's searching for a cure for hard-ons.
No, I thought you looked at a lot of porn on your computer. That would be a cause of hard-ons.
It's really a conflict of interest. We're having that's why my computer's bipolar. Did I mention that? Okay, it's going to be end of the show. Of course, we have our Shirley Q is back with a cure.
All right.
With a cure for hard-ons. And take it, Shirley.
How you doing? This is Shirley Q Liquor. Ooh, you know what tastes good in the morning is go in there and get you about a pound and a half of bacon and cook it in maple syrups and then get your biscuits going. I like to make my own them cathead biscuits. I sift the flour. And I crack my eggs, which I get out of a chicken, which stay in the closet. You know, I have to have some laying hens in my house. I can't afford me no eggs. And egg beaters is high. The doctor say my cholesterol is just, he say it's 400 degrees or something. And say, Miss Liquor, you got, he said, do you eat cheese? I say, any kind I get my hands on. He said, what about meat products? I said, I eat that bird from the neck to the tail. I said, ain't nothing as good as sitting home on a Saturday night looking at wrestling, chewing on some chicken necks. Girl, you get that and some cherry Kool-Aid and a pickle. Ooh, it's just like being at the Ritz-Carlton down there. And the other night I poked chitlins. Have you ever had that? That's a hog inside. And I made the poke chili there, and they smell nasty. And you have to scrape all the fat off of them and everything. And it just ruins your house. You can't get the odor out. It takes a gallon of Febreze to kill that odor up in there. But, oh, you talk about good. You put you some ketchup on there. Honey, you think you died and went on to heaven. I could do some cooking now. Well, you tell your mama, ask her how she did. Tell her she owed me a whole bunch of canned goods. Tell her bring them over here. Bye, darling.
Okay, and we're back in the thanks, Shirley. And the list.
Man, I love Shirley Q.
Yeah, and also we have the list of the week.
Oh yeah, the quote of the week is a fella by the name of Cashel, and Cashel. It's pretty much an idiot. We're on Infonomicon TV, the little segment I did on Power Over Ethernet, is on archive.org. And Cashel wrote the first review of it. And he wrote, and I quote, "While I do not fully understand the mechanics of it all, I doubt the legality and certainly would not try it. Power Over Ethernet, if you're an idiot, isn't illegal. It's a normal thing. Belkin sells shit that allows you to do this. It's not an illegal thing." Of course, this guy is known for his smarts. And we've all seen White Sword TV. He says
which
it's
is in
a
the
pity.
Link, which is in the link section.
Which is in the link section. He said it's a pity I cannot recommend download of this film. They have promising material, but have ignored the simple rules for making a video camera. Or for using a video camera, excuse me. Please use a tripod and avoid shaking the camera.
So while White Sword's like bending down in like in a like 4-foot cave, he's going to be setting up the tripod?
That's right. please write a detailed script. Well, he's a little urban exploration, and you don't really have a script for that. And he pretty much just talks shit on White Sword.
I wonder if this good guy is White Sword.
Anyway, I think it's funny. This guy is an idiot. Anyway, that's the quote of the week. Do you have a cunt of the week?
I was going to do that last. What's the site of the week? You mentioned to me a while ago about that.
Oh, the site of the week is actually I set up some Earthlink for a lady that was on Windows 95. And while I was setting up her Earthlink account, I noticed a little section of the earthlink.net/spy audit. And it's a little file you can download. It uses an online scan to find spyware. Now, we all know of, like, Trend Micro and Panda Antivirus, things like that, for finding antivirus. But this is a quick little online spyware scan if you're ever having to fix your cousin's computer.
And, of course, that link will be up in the show notes at www.infonomicon.org, presented
Damn
by
right.
Clear Channel Incorporated.
And Voodoo Hell.
And Voodoo Hell. And, yeah, the cunt of the week. It's the guy we've been having problems with lately.
What is that little fucker's name?
Don't say his name too much. There'll be a lot of bleeps. And his real name is...
Isn't this the known gay community?
It sure is. It's about as gay as New Orleans.
And I love New Orleans.
No, no, it's about as gay as the... it's that little section of, like, the block of New Orleans. Of the French Quarter.
When you go from the cool part of the French Quarter before you get to the Vampire Bar?
It's in between there, actually. It's between,
yeah,
like,
it's
the
between
party.
There.
It's between the party part and the goth part, which is on Decatur Street. It's like, it's on Bourbon. No.
It's on Bourbon.
We should call it the Happy Block. You know, me and my friend.
Where the men pick you up.
Yeah, you don't want to be straight walking through there. So, you know, me and my friend would just hold hands and walk really fast. I'm with somebody already. Don't touch me. I'm going to start a radio show.
That's excellent, buddy.
You like my new little talk?
We should do a whole show like that. With the lisp.
The lisp.
Sounding gay.
The whole show with lisp.
Yeah.
And our closing music for the week is going to be a band called Brujeria.
Feeling Love by Paula Cole.
The song's called the band's called Brujeria, and the song's called Mandando Guenjos. In Spanish, that means kill white boys.
Oh.
And until next week, you've been, your name is?
Droops.
And I'm Obfuscating, and we're Mickey Finn. Okay, we're out.
All right, I'm pretty drunk. I'm going to go smoke a cigarette. Would you like to talk to me on the phone?
Yeah.
All right, I'll call with you.
Okay, bye.
Right now.